me now. Come with me now. And welcome in to another great edition of Board Check. Of course, that makes me Jeremy the Impact York. Some weird things happen where, yes, we did not do a show. We did not do a show last week. We're not able to. We had to keep shuffling things around for some things that were going on later in this week here. So in the shuffle, this show almost got cut out, but I will not do that to you guys. So, I'm here now. Of course, we're going to talk some Carolina Hurricanes. They are off to a hot start. And they're fun to watch. They really, really, I say that a lot. These guys are so much fun to watch, and they're having fun. And I'll get into that here in a minute. The Gladiators, doing pretty good. I'm not going to say slow out of the gate, because in the two games I've seen, They looked really good, really solid in the away games that I've been able to listen to the great Chris Treff call and others. They're doing some good things, and I look forward to the way this season's going to play out. There's many, many more games to go. So, you know, we'll get to those as we do. We'll talk some NHL news as well. We'll get into that here in a minute, but first I do want to start with the Carolina Hurricanes. Just to recap things since the last time we chatted, they lost to Colorado 3-1, where Michael Ferlin was the only goal scorer. Michael Haney with 19 saves. I like that kid. That kid's a solid backup option right now, with the potential to. I mean, he could be a starter somewhere down the road for this team. I don't know, but he has that potential. You can see it. Let's see, they were able to win in Detroit 3-1, where Ferland, Martinook, and Falk all had goals in that one. Mrazek with 20 saves. That brought us to the win of 4-3 versus San Jose. Let's get the page set there where I can actually see it. The scoring in that one. Dougie Hamilton with his first. That guy's going to be fun. He had McGinn who was able to put one in. Tara Vinen tied it up. And then they win the shootout. I actually got to rewatch this game right before we did Sports Club yesterday, and it was almost as much fun the second time as it was the first time. Very fun. Sharks team is loaded. They're a team that a lot of people think are, you know, poised to take the whole thing. I say it's early. They've got a lot of stars for NFL fans. They're kind of like the Rams. They already had a pretty solid base. They went out and got a couple good, really good free agents. They have one of my favorite defensemen in Brent Burns. Burnsy is hopefully, I could only hope that he's your spirit animal. He's hopefully mine. What else was I gonna? Mrazek had 20 saves in that particular one. Of course, that brought us to the Sunday matchup against the New York Islanders, where we unfortunately did not win that one. Lost that one 2-1. Can't win them all. Don't tell that to some teams. And you should try to win them all. You know you're not going to. Nobody's going to go 84-0. Nobody's going to go, you know, 90-0. It's just not going to happen. The lone goal scorer for us was Teuvo Teravainen, who has 3 at this point. And Peter Mrazek had 18 saves in that one. led us to Tuesday night's loss to Boston. It happens. It's okay. Once again, can't win them all. I don't have a problem with that. Because this team continues to grind. They continue to just push. And they are hyper-aggressive. They're out-shooting their opponents like at almost like a 2-1, 3-1. Well, it's more like a 2-1, 1.5-1. You know, like the Boston game. The Boston Bruins had 31 shots on goal. It's not bad. It's like 12 more than... the Sharks had. Well, the Sharks had like 20-something. But then you look, and Carolina had 44 against Boston. So, yeah, they're kind of going my strategy. Not only making really good shots and setting up attempts, but sometimes if you don't have anything going, just throw it on net, see what happens. A couple leads have trickled in. Yeah, page isn't going to load, so that's fine. But, you know, upcoming schedule for the Carolina Hurricanes. They will play in Arizona against the Coyotes. That is a 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time start. That is tomorrow night. That should be fun. Probably catch the replay of that one. Be working. Covering a football game. For anybody that's... Yeah, I see that. Do it. Yeah. I would rather be at this game. This would be great. The Vegas Golden Knights will host the Hurricanes 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturday. And... they will... Well, let's put it this way. Borchek will start being on Tuesdays. We don't know a time yet. Probably tentatively around... 8-ish, if you want to listen live. If not, the podcast version will be available, you know, 8:30 to 9-ish, starting Tuesday. So that, we're just going to go ahead and move that. That way it's not going to get overlooked. It's not going to get shuffled. It shouldn't get shuffled quite as much. But somewhere around the 8 o'clock mark, 8:30, somewhere in there, on Tuesdays, you will get this show. That's the best way to make sure that we don't skip over this, you know, because it's important. Looking into the standings, if we ever get around to it, you know, like I said, this team is off to a really hot start. They are functioning as a team. They are playing as a team. They are currently the third best team in the Metropolitan Division. Let's see if we can get that to pull up the other way. You know, the Halloween prank that they were pulling on each other, you know, hides in a mask, jumps out and scares everybody. Hey, some coworkers of mine got me the other day that way, and did I get offended? Did I flip out? No. They got me. I thought it was very funny, and I told them, it's on, but at the same time, hey, it was a good gig, they did well. I liked it. But like I said, they have the third best. Well, it's actually tied for second with the Islanders with 13 overall points. Pittsburgh has 14. Is anybody? Yeah, the Atlantic is just crushing people right now. But yeah, the way it would go, they would be the 3 seed in the East, or in the because of the Metropolitan. So, you know, big things happening there. That obviously moves us to the Gladiators, the Atlanta Gladiators. I am going to highlight some of the division here in a minute as well, but things about the Gladiators that you should know. Things since last time we talked. They were able to pick up the victory over Greenville 4-1. That was the opening weekend game. I happened to be at that one. That was a very, very fun watch. On that one, I was sitting near the Greenville bench. They felt like they were in it until late, and it just seems like Atlanta was able to step on the gas pedal at the right time. Gallupo, McDonald, Gabriel, and Truk all with goals in that one. Svoboda with 23 saves. Then he got recalled up the ranks to play goalie with the next level up. He has actually been sent right back down. Not sent down. I hate saying sent down. He was added to the Gladiators roster earlier today. It will be great having him back. That guy is fantastic. He is every bit as exciting as watching Dan Vladar. So, good to have him here. There was the following game, the loss to Orlando 4-1, where McDonald was the lone goal scorer. I was near the... You know, we had Jake and John from Impact Media here and do some stuff for Board Check. They were there with me as well. We talked to the president while we were there. That was a lot of fun. Great guys. Talked to him both nights. Sat near the Gladiators bench on that one. Got to meet John Kincaid from 680. That was a lot of fun. And Ben Ingram as well. They were trying to teach him hockey. But, hey, Kincaid's a super guy. He's a big hockey fan. He's a guy you definitely want in the building if you're trying to promote your hockey team. And I look forward to seeing John in a lot more games because I think now that he was reminded that he's not that far from this, I believe he will be in a lot more games. What else was there? There was the loss at South Carolina, 2-0. Bonner had 25 saves. He had 20 in the loss to Orlando. Obviously, nobody scored in that one. Then this past Thursday, the loss 3-2 in overtime, where McDonald and Gabriel had the goals in that one. Bonner with 26 saves. Bonner had 20 saves Saturday night in Greenville as they lost 4-3 in that one. Truk and McKenzie. McKenzie actually had 2 in that one. Upcoming schedule for the Gladiators. Well, tomorrow night, they host the Norfolk Admirals, 7:35 puck drop. On Saturday, no, wait, I got that backwards. They will be in Norfolk, where they play, from the looks of it, they play at 3:05 tomorrow afternoon. That could be interesting. They stay in Norfolk Saturday night and play at 7 p.m. there. And their next game will be Tuesday, so we'll talk about it on the next board check. But yeah, no, it's don't panic that they are. Let's see, where's the standings? We just had them. There they go. Your South standings in the ECHL. Jacksonville has 10 points. They are 5-0. They're playing pretty good right now. Got lucky in a couple games, so they're playing pretty good. I'll give them credit. Norfolk is 5-2. They have 10 points. Orlando is 4-3. They have 8 points. South Carolina is 4-4. They also have 8 points. And tied with 5, you have Florida at 2-3-1. Atlanta at 2-3-1. And Greenville at 2-5-1. Yeah, we know this division is tough. We know it's going to play each other fantastically. There's so many more games to play. I mean, we're 6 games into a 60-something game series season. So, you know, Gladiator fans, keep going, keep supporting. I heard it right out of the president's mouth. President of the Atlanta Gladiators. Right out of his mouth. Heinrichson or whatever. Right out of his mouth. This is the opening home weekend was the biggest opening weekend the Atlanta Gladiators have done. That's tickets, that's showing up, that's overall involvement, everything. That's the biggest opening weekend they've had in the 14-year history of the team. So, you know what? Give yourselves a hand, because I know all you guys were there. You guys were absolutely there. Like I said, I was there both games. Some other people from here went to one game. We'll be going to some other games coming up. We'll try to let you guys know. Sometimes it's spare of the moment, so we may just have to check Twitter, Facebook, those kinds of things. You guys know how to find us that way. But, you know, overall, I like where this team's going. They play a lot more aggressive. That's what I've seen in the last few games, especially the first game, but the last few games. Some of the top NHL headlines, because there's actually a game on now. What game was that? Can we find that again? No? We don't know what game we were watching. Oh, okay, good to know. All right, well, anyway. Let's see. Anything? I mean, really, the NHL is just starting off as well. There's a couple teams that have started off real hot starts. I said I like where Carolina's at right now. My goodness, the Atlantic Division is just hammering people. But not really anything NHL. Big time stuff to really talk about. Like I said, look out for the Sharks. The teams early on that I said you should definitely watch out for are pretty much the teams that are doing well right now. But I promised you guys a player interview. I actually interviewed this guy a couple weeks back, so you'll hear him refer to things that may have already happened. This was before the season started. I talked to Gladiators standout player and now second-year player, Brandon Truk. Already got a handful of goals this year, but I was able to talk to him in the offseason about various things.
Joining
and
me
I hope
this
you
time
guys enjoy.
Is a returning Gladiator for this season. He is Brandon Truk. How you doing, Brandon?
Doing pretty well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's a fun Wednesday. We get to talk here, even though the show's on a break. Doesn't mean that we are totally on a break. I'm glad we got a chance to get you on. What have you been up to since season's end?
I've been pretty busy this summer. I mean, last year I ended the year with an injury, so I've been doing a lot of rehab and a lot of training to get back to where I need to be to start this season coming up.
And then, are you in the Atlanta area right now, or are you back home somewhere?
No, I always come back home in the off seasons. I'm home in Edmonton.
And of course, does that make you an Oilers fan?
I like to be an Oilers fan, but it's been a little tough for the past few years.
They don't make it easy, do they?
No, they don't. But they're coming around and they're entertaining to watch.
See, that's always my thing. As long as my team is entertaining, and full disclosure for people who are either new to the show or the fact that, Brandon, you probably don't know either, the Rangers are my team because they're the team that brought me into hockey, even though I am 50-50 as far as still being a Thrasher fan. But that is a whole different podcast. It's the Thrasher stuff. But, yeah, as long as my team is entertaining, I can deal with whatever kind of chaos happens.
Yeah, that's so much of it. As long as it's entertaining to watch and – I mean, that gives you a reason to follow it, too. There's some exciting players to watch on the Oilers and stuff like that. And, I mean, that's what people want to see.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, like I said, you are returning this season because the Gladiators made another smart move. I didn't predict this one like I did a couple years ago. I predicted a couple of the trades they did before they happened. But we were able to pick you up from the Bunny Rabbit to Greenville. What was it? What's the difference between playing in Atlanta and Greenville?
I mean, one of the things that I noticed coming across was that the dressing room and just kind of like the team atmosphere, I just found that Atlanta was a little bit of a closer group and stuff like that, not taking away anything away from Greenville. But Greenville, we started out really well, and then we kind of went through a tough time with injuries and guys leaving and stuff like that. And when I came to Atlanta, it was just like a really solid group in the dressing room, and everybody was kind of on the same page. So that'd probably be the main difference that I noticed coming.
Well, and of course, that's part of why Atlanta brought you over into the family atmosphere here, because the Swamp Rabbits are kind of going through a transitional period where they're kind of rebooting things. I don't really call it a rebuild. I hate using that word in sports. But, yeah, with them kind of going in one direction, Atlanta going in the other, that's why you're able to reach out and get some of the bigger players and bring them over. So that definitely explains kind of where those two organizations are into why that trade happened. Now, you did get injured towards the end of the season, which was definitely unfortunate. But before then, you were on quite a tear. Was it just the pairing, or was it just the familiarity and being so used to the guys without actually playing with them up to that point?
I think it was kind of a little bit of both. I think whenever you kind of get on a roll in a season, it kind of seems to be – it kind of comes a little bit easier. But also when you're playing with good players and high-skilled players, it also makes the game easier as well. And usually guys, as soon as you get that chemistry, you kind of just feed off of that. And then game after game just kind of keeps getting better, stronger, and it just kind of keeps growing. And in a small sample size, I only played 10 games with Atlanta before I got injured. So I'm excited to see what a full year will bring playing with all those guys.
Now, I'm pretty sure you were able to play with this guy, but were you able to get on a pairing with the captain, Derek Nesbitt?
Yeah, that's probably one of the biggest reasons I came back to Atlanta. Was I was talking with Nezzy quite a bit throughout the summer, and I mean, him and me played pretty well together when we were on the same line, and on the power play we had a lot of chemistry, so that was a big determining factor on why I made my decision on coming back to Atlanta.
Yeah, that guy, he's without taking away from the current head coach, obviously, he's got future head coach written all over it, because he's kind of Mr. Hockey Atlanta around here.
Yeah, he's just, you look at him even when he played in the American League, he's always put up numbers. He's really knowledgeable of the game, and he really understands from a player's aspect. He'll be a great coach whenever that day comes for him, but right now he's still a great player.
Now, even though you are only 24, you are in your fifth professional season, correct?
Yeah.
And you have actually spent a good bit of time in the AHL, where you played with the Texas Stars, Hartford Wolfpack, and the Tucson Roadrunners, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The power of the internet makes me seem smart right now. I knew two of the three, but I had to look up the other one. You know, for a lot of people who don't know, everybody thinks that they're miles apart, but really, from what I've gathered, the game of hockey is the game of hockey. It just depends on, you know, what sheet of ice you're playing on. Kind of, what was the difference between playing with Texas, Hartford, and Tucson of the AHL and then playing with the Gladiators and Swamp Rabbits in the ECHL?
There's a couple main differences that I found. I mean, in the American League, I found you don't really get those 3-3 games that you'll get on a weekend when you're playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So, I mean, that was a pretty big difference. And also dressing 10 forwards instead of 12. I found those were, like, two real big adjustments that I had to get used to coming from the American League to the ECHL. But in the end of it, hockey's hockey and stuff like that. So, I mean, you find a way to adapt and you find a way to get used to that type of stuff. I mean, maybe the American League is maybe a second or two faster than the East Coast League, but, I mean, in the overall, it's pretty similar.
And when you were playing with Atlanta, did you stay somewhere in Atlanta, or were you still going back home when you could?
No, I was – when I was in Atlanta, they put you up – like, all the guys on the team stay in team apartments, so we're all in the same complex and stuff like that, so it works out really well.
Well, who were your roommates?
I live on my own, me and my wife. I lock out and get my own place.
That may be the better decision.
Yeah.
Nothing personal to any of your teammates, but we all know some of the hijinks hockey players can get into.
Yeah, I've always kind of liked living on my own. Even my 3 years in the American League, I've always chose to live on my own, and I just kind of find it better that way. I can kind of do what I want when I want.
Now, obviously, last year there was a different head coach with Atlanta, and then this year the new head coach, Jeff Pyle. Have you been able to talk to him yet?
Yeah, I've talked to Pyle quite a bit, and I was making up my mind on, because I was looking at going over to Europe or re-signing in Atlanta, and I was talking to Pyler almost every second day there for a little while, and him and me really had the same goals in mind, and I really liked what Tyler was in and the direction that he wanted to take the team. So him and me have a pretty good relationship going right now.
Yeah, definitely. So the team that he is building, I know I've explained this to people that they don't sign people every 3 or 4 days like the news releases say. Usually it's in big chunks. But as we're seeing piece by piece, this is a heck of a team he's building.
Yeah, some of the guys that he's brought in, it's shaped up really well. And the returning guys that are coming back, and I know that he signed that Montgomery, who's a veteran defenseman, who's played the bulk of his mm-hmm. games in the American League as well. So, I mean, he's going to be a big part on offensively and defensively. And it looks like a really good squad shaping up.
And, of course, we are talking to the newly re-signed Brandon Truk of the Atlanta Gladiators, of our Atlanta Gladiators, right here on Board Check. The Gladiators are actually kind of ahead of the curve, and this is no knock on them usually, with some of the promotional things coming up. I mean, there's the Gwinnett Stripers, Gladiators kind of crossover nights coming up, and then now they finally come up. I guess they either – I'll give them credit. If they took my idea for the 5K, that's fine. They can have it. But are either of these two, either the minor league baseball game or the 5K, are those the kind of things you get into, or are you more into the other things they come up with?
I mean, I think it's always great when you have things like that, different interactions that you can get into. So, I mean, I'm a big fan of those. The more things where you can get out and grow the game and get more exposure to it, I think that's great. And that's just great for a fan base. And, I mean, it just kind of gets everything more involved. So, I think like that, the more things, the better.
And speaking of the fan base, what do you enjoy most about this Atlanta Gladiators fan base?
I mean, from what I got to saw, they're a pretty diehard fan base. They really love the team. They really support very well. And I think it'll just keep getting better and better. And if we keep having more successful years, go into the playoffs, make a little bit more of a run, I think it'll just be that much more reason for people to come.
Oh, absolutely, especially building off the success of last year. That really got a lot more people into it. And that's what I found with a lot of the listeners of this show, on top of all the people the fans you meet at games, is winning always does help. There's a lot to that.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
I mean, nothing personal, but at the end of the day, it's a business, but winning helps make that business even better.
Yeah, people want to watch winners, and that's
right.
You hate to say it, but that's a big contributor.
Right. I mean, we see that in any sport. I mean, you know, with football season coming up and everything else I mean, that's just how it works. But have you been able to experience any of the surrounding Atlanta area, any of the attractions? I mean, there's quite a few of them now.
Last year, I didn't really get to do too much. We went to an Atlanta Braves game as a team, and that was really cool. But
mm-hmm.
last year, I didn't have a vehicle when I was down there. So this year, I will, and I'm going to get to do a lot more sightseeing and touristy type of thing.
Yeah, I had somehow gotten the day off the day you guys all went to the Braves game. So, and the funny thing was, I was wearing my Gladiators hat, and I happened to figure out where you guys were because somebody said, "Oh, the hockey team's over there." So I went over there. I was able to run into a couple of you guys, and a couple of the front office guys come walking up, and they looked at the hat, and they went, "I think I know who you are. You're the guy from Board Check." And I was like, "Hey, thanks for listening." I was like, "Yeah." I said, "I was actually awesome. Sitting over there." I said, "Bryce Harper's one of my favorite players. I was sitting over there chopping it up with him, and I found out you guys were over there." So I went over there and was able to run into a few of you guys. But I thought that was the craziest thing, that I just happened to put on that hat that day.
Yeah, no, that's crazy.
But as we finish up here with Brandon Truk, it has been fantastic having you on. What things are you looking forward to this season, and what would be your overall message to the fans?
I'm looking forward to getting back down there and getting the season underway, and I think the main thing is there might be some up and downs throughout the year, but I guarantee and I think that we'll have a very strong finish to the end of the year, and I'm excited to get things going.
Absolutely. And, of course, everybody here at Voracek, we wish you and the entire Gladiators team and organization success this year, because we will be following along. We will be in as many games as we can, giving the other team as much crap as possible, because since we're not technically affiliated with the team, we can get away with a lot more.
That sounds great. Thanks for having me on here.
But, yeah, definitely thanks for being on, Brandon, and we will see you later on down the road.
Absolutely.
Joining me at this...
And that was the great Brandon Truitt, re-signed for his second year. Great to have him. It's been fun getting back on. Like I said, we're going to officially move this to Tuesdays so that it does not get shuffled as it typically always does. I will not do that to you guys. But that's going to do it for us this week. Appreciate all you guys joining us. Another great edition of Voracek. We will see you guys next week. Gladiators.